to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Going through the Bible, we're to the book of James. It's right after the book of Hebrews. Sometimes it's hard to find because the Hebrews is so long and James is so small. But in James, there's a couple of verses especially, but several that talk about our relationships with other people and how we can follow God's wisdom and how to have healthy relationships. Understand, this message is not about me telling you what I think. It's coming from the Bible, especially from the book of James. But also, when I'm saying it, I'm not necessarily good at these things that I'm going to tell you. but that doesn't make them still the truth, okay? Because I'm working at my relationships just like all of you are working on all of yours. So I hope when you hear it today that you hear it as what God's truth is and that we all work together to get better at dealing with other people. Because we all have relationships. Some are better than others, but we all need to work on these things. When I was learning about this, I was reading about an interview between an interviewer and a guy, and the interviewer asked him, it's a normal question, in your career, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? And the guy answered, well, I believe my biggest weakness is listening. which reminds me of another example from my own life that I had this past week. I was sitting on the couch, I was on my phone, and all of a sudden Christy says, Stephen, are you even listening to me? And I thought, huh, that's a weird way to start a conversation. Listening is the first thing we're going to talk about. When it comes to our relationships with other people, it's really important that we listen to them. This comes from James chapter 5. Right off the bat, he says, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Listening. We need to be listening a lot more in our relationships than talking. A lot more. I think about in Connecticut, there is this really awful tragedy that happened. This husband died. And I was sitting in their living room right after this happened, and I was like, what am I going to say? Like, what am I doing here? How am I going to help this family? And they had a dog, and the dog would just go from person to person, and, you know, you'd pet the dog for a while, and then the dog would move to the next person, and they'd pet the dog. And that dog did more in there, in that room, than I probably did, and it wasn't saying a thing. It was just there, right? Listening, just being with the people in your life who are going through something difficult is probably a lot more important than anything that you're possibly going to say to them. Listening is just so much more helpful. In the book of Job, we heard the story in our first lesson. He has three best friends who come to him when he's suffering. And it says that they sat with him for 7 days and did not say a word. Can you imagine if you had a friend that was willing to do that, just sit with you? Not say a word. After that, they started talking, and they didn't have anything good to say. That's most of the book of Job. But when they were just sitting there, just being with him, they were being really good friends. There's Stephen Ministry is going to be starting again at the end of the month of November. By the way, you're welcome to still join in if you want to be trained. One of the lessons, I think, is one of the best lessons. It's called Process-Oriented Listening. And pretty much what it is how to listen to what people are talking about without trying to fix their problems. That's really it. I think every guy should take this class. How to listen to the people you love when they're having a problem and try not to fix what they're talking about. It's really important. But the idea is that God knows what they're going through. He's listening too. They need you there, but they need God's help. So we pray for them, and we just listen and try to help them cope through these difficult times. So listen, that's step number one. But the thing is, eventually, we may want to say something. What are we going to say? Well, let's start off with what we're not going to say. This comes from Luke chapter 6. Just in general, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So right off the bat, we have to see, if we see a problem in a relationship with in somebody that we have a relationship with, the first thing is, let's not judge them. They've got a judge. They've got an almighty judge. Right? God himself, Jesus, who's going to judge all of us one day. They don't need another judge, okay? But what is our job then? Our job is to show them compassion, right? To seek understanding. I heard another story recently, and it was about a guy who was walking along on the beach, and all of a sudden, God was there, walking beside him. And God said, you know, I'm going to break a few rules here. You're being such a great man here. I'm going to give you one wish. You can wish for anything you want, and I'll do it for you. And that guy thought for a sec. He said, you know, I've always wanted to travel the world, but I'm afraid to fly. So could you set up like a whole system of bridges across the ocean so that I could just get in the car and drive anywhere I want to in the whole world? And God thought for a sec. He said, you know, I just don't think I want to do that. That is just, the logistics of that are just impossible. I mean, you'd have to have like gas stations in the middle of the ocean. You know, how would the boats miss all these bridges and stuff? I don't want to do that. I want you to come up with something else. The guy said, all right. He's like, well, I've never gotten married. I just don't really understand how women think. I don't know why they say the things they say. I don't know why they do the things they do. If you could just help me to understand women, I might be able to find a girlfriend, get married. God paused for a second and said, do you want a 2-lane or 4-lane highway? Understanding other people, we know it's important, but it's hard. It is. It feels next to impossible. But we're called to do it. That's what God is telling us here. Instead of judging other people, we're supposed to understand them. If we see a problem in somebody else's life, well, I mean, use it as a mirror and say, well, do I have the problem, that problem in my life? Is that, do I need to work on this as well? There's a quote, you know, I don't find a lot of positive things on Facebook, but I did see this quote on Facebook several months ago. And it says, consider how hard it is to change yourself, and you'll understand what little chance you have when trying to change others. I might have even said this in a sermon before, but I just think it's so good. Consider how hard it is to change yourself. I mean, how hard it is just for you who know yourself and have control over yourself to change yourself. Now imagine how hard it is for you to change somebody else. It's next to impossible. So don't bother trying to change them. All right? Just focus on what you can control, which is yourself. But, you know, if you need to still say something, what are you going to say? Well, Ephesians 4 says, speak the truth in love. So how you say it matters, right? Speak it in love, and then speak the truth. So don't say them what you think. Don't tell them, don't give your own advice. If you're going to have to say something, you know, what does the Bible have to say to them? And make sure they know it's coming from the Bible, not from you. And maybe you say, you know what, this is in the Bible, and I have as much trouble with this as you do, but I see this, and maybe we should work on this together. Maybe this is a problem that we both have that we need to work on. Now, of course, if you start talking the truth from the Bible, you're probably going to have some relationships that have conflict. We all experience conflict in our relationships, that's for sure. So what do we do then? God is telling us here that I talk about this in premarital counseling especially. Don't fight to win. Because if you fight to win and your spouse loses, that's not good for you. That means you lose. So when we're fighting, when we're having conflict, we want to lovingly resolve. This is what God says in Scripture in James chapter 3. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So we're called to work for peace in our relationships, not to win, but to reconcile with our relationships that are in conflict. And so that means that's going to take a lot of humility. It's going to take a lot of forgiveness, because sometimes people don't want to say they're sorry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there's this great, it's like, if you want to sue someone because they've done something wrong against you, it says, why would you do that? Why not just be wronged? Why not just be cheated? I mean, have you ever realized that in order to have a fight, you have to have two people willing to fight? If only one person is fighting, eventually the fight is over. The other person's just not willing to be a part of it. I mean, if somebody pushes you and you don't push them back, I mean, there's only so much they can do. If they hit you and you don't hit them back, there's only so much they can do. Eventually, they're going to stop because you're not fighting back against them. This made me think about something that's happening in our world today that I thought it just made me think about it. And I wanted you to think about it with me because I think this shows how hard doing this would be, how hard peace in our relationships would be. Recently, as you probably well know, that in Israel, there is a terrorist organization called Hamas, who was democratically elected by the Palestinians, by the way, but this Hamas, this terrorist organization that killed hundreds of innocent Israelis, okay? They just killed them out of the blue. took a bunch hostage. I mean, awful stuff. And what would you do if that happened, right? And then, so what did Israel do? What are they doing right now? Well, they are killing thousands of Palestinians, many of them who are also innocent victims, some of them who are also terrorists, but many of them are innocent victims. And you say, well, what other choice did they have? I mean, who are we to judge? Because when this happened in America, what did we do? We did the same thing that they're doing. We went and tried to find the terrorists and kill them. And we ended up killing lots of innocent civilians as well. So we have no place to judge them. But the part of it that I want to point to is that when I say what other choice did they have, I think there is another choice that the Bible gives us. There is another choice, and that is to make peace. And how do you do that, though? I mean, can you imagine? That would mean having terrorists attack you, kill innocent people, and then forgiving them. Just not doing anything about it. I mean, can you imagine that? Most of us, I think, kind of get sick at that idea. Like, wouldn't that just let them get away with it? But do you realize that's what God has done for us? I mean, really, that's what he's done. He's let us sin, and then he's forgiven us, and Jesus took that punishment. And he says, you know what? I'm going to show you grace. I mean, he's letting us get away with it. And what he's asking us in our relationships with other people is to forgive people, to not demand that we get revenge, to not be right in the conflict, to forgive. I mean, I think, I don't know how the Israelis could do that. I don't know how I can do that in all of my conflicts and relationships. I don't know how our country could do it. So I'm not judging them. I'm just saying there is another way. And to be honest, when I really think about it, not emotionally, but intellectually, when I think about it, I don't know how there will ever be peace in the Middle East until somebody decides that they're just going to forget, that they're not going to fight back. And there's probably some relationships in your life where there's probably never going to be any resolution until somebody decides they're going to just allow themselves to have been hurt and not to get them back, you know, to just forgive and to move on and to let God be the judge, the final judge. I mean, peacemaking sounds so simple, right? Sounds like the answer that all the Miss Universe, Miss America say, what do you want? World peace. It's like, it sounds so nice. But the fact is, this is hard stuff. There's another story, a final story I heard. There's a man and a wife who were arguing, and they argued all day long until finally they were giving each other the silent treatment, and the guy, he had to get up early for a plane to catch, so he wrote on a little note, please wake me up at 5 a.m., early flight. And he set it on his wife's side of the bed. He went to sleep. He woke up the next morning. The sun was bright. He looked at the clock. It was 8 o'clock. He jumped out of bed. And what happened? He looked on his side of the bed. There was a note. Wake up. It's 5 o'clock. You know, she probably proved her point. She was probably right. He was wrong. But I don't think their relationship got any better. What I'd like you to consider is that maybe instead of being right the next time you're fighting with someone, maybe put that relationship as more of a priority in your life than being right, than winning that fight. And take God's advice and do more listening, less judging, more understanding, having a little bit more compassion, and trusting God that's going to take care of making everything better, and that you're just going to try to love the other people in your life as much as God loves you. And I think before I end, I should just say a prayer for all of us in our relationships that are really struggling. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, none of us have the answers here. We're looking to your Bible for your word for truth. And I ask you that in each of our relationships that's really struggling right now, that you would help us to listen more, to listen especially to your Holy Spirit working in our hearts, that you would help us to forgive, that you would help us to love. And I pray, Lord God, that you would reconcile the most difficult conflicts in our world and in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.